Positive Chats podcast getting up and off and the ground and ready for you. And today we're excited because we're going to be talking about men stuff. It's like dudehood and that kind of thing. We're on with, oh my gosh, this is going to be a lot of fun. J. Josh Smith. And the book is called The Titus 10 Foundations for Godly Manhood Outlines. It's a biblical calling for men at work, home, and in the church. Josh, thanks for being on the show today, man. Appreciate you being on.
No rather place I'd be on a... What is it? Tuesday morning here. I'm fired up.
There you go. You know what? Every once in a while, we kind of forget which day it is, so I don't blame you if you did.
I'm feeling that this week.
Oh, no. Oh, geez. You know what is cool about the book? It's kind of rooted out of the book of Titus.
It is, absolutely. And Titus the man, who's one of my favorite guys in the New Testament. He's super hard to figure out. There's only 13 references to him in the New Testament. So you got to really dig through Corinthians and Galatians and Acts and everything. But once you put it together... He's a good guy we need to know about.
So teach us about Titus, because I think that's a book that we know of, but don't really know.
Yeah, if you got a new Bible and the pages were still sticking together, you would miss the 46 verses of Titus, I assure you. You would just go right past it. So Titus, not really a Timothy figure in that he was not really a son in the faith to Paul. He was more of a companion. We have three instances where Paul sent Titus on extremely difficult missions to take care of some really complicated stuff. One of them is he sent him to this church in Crete that was highly dysfunctional, filled with false teachers and rebellious men. And these men, it tells us in Titus 1, were destroying the church. So Paul drops Titus off there and says, fix it. And that's the context of the book. And so you've got two men writing to each other, talking about how to fix a church filled with rebellious men. And the solution, he says, is first thing to do, Titus 1:5, find some good godly men. So I write this book, the book, the Titus 10, kind of out of that circumstance and out of the letter to Titus.
Interesting. So what did you land on? Because when we're talking about modern day man, when you read on social media that women are now becoming the men they want, oh, where are guys falling short?
Yeah, so it's funny because I wrote this book on men, and the number one like podcasts I'm doing and the number one groups buying my book is women, not because they want to be men, but they're like buying it and handing it to men for Christmas. Like, yeah, hey, exactly. I would like for you to read this and be this. You know, it's interesting that part of the story of how I started teaching this 15 years ago. I started teaching this curriculum 15 years ago, just came into print this year. And the reason is I was a first-time pastor, 32 years old, and I inherited in this church some really good, godly, older men. And they were incredible. I'd never met men like this. Wow. But they were dying. And I was doing their funerals. And then what I was seeing is a younger generation of men was not coming behind them that were the same. So it's at this point when I decided I've got it, like my role as a pastor is to do something about this. So I started taking young men, old men, getting them in groups and trying to just find out how we can raise up godly men, because women are desperate for it. The church needs it. Our world needs it. I have four daughters and one son. And so people say, well, if you have four daughters, why did you write a book for men? And I said, because I have four daughters.
Yep.
And I really need at least four good guys out there. So
makes sense.
So a lot of my motive for this is my desire to see women thrive and to be everything God's called them to be. And I just have this crazy conviction that in the context of really good, faithful, godly, humble, servant, Christ-like men, the women around them thrive.
So give us like a few qualities that we should have.
Sure. I say these qualities are from the book and the context of Titus. And so all 46 verses kind of brought together here. I have 10 qualities, foundations, I call them, for godly manhood. The first one is dominion. We go back to Genesis 1 and 2 and say, what has God originally intended for men to be? Every time I say the word dominion, I feel like I need to look over my shoulder, make sure no woman's looking at me. Like, it sounds terrible. But what dominion is working and keeping. It is this hard, sacrificial, sweaty, exhausting, thankless task of working in such a way that everything around me and everything under my care is better because I'm there. Mm. So this is not domineering. Dominion is I exist to cultivate the ground so that my family, my church, the workplace grows because of me, because of my faithfulness. So it really, from the very beginning, paints this picture of a man who works really hard for the good of others. We go from there to talk about things like the gospel of Jesus Christ and how God takes our broken manhood and puts it back together. And we talk about our identity in Christ and how we reform that identity. And one of my favorite parts to talk about is the difference between identity and assignments. So our assignments are kind of like our job. Our identity is who we are in Christ. I find a lot of guys lose their assignment and they've also lost their identity because they've confused the two.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of those kind of things we're talking about.
Well, didn't you put something in your book because you said that men can't find what they have in God's place as men until they join a local church and stay there and submit? Is that part of it?
Yeah, it is part of it. I'm a local church pastor. So, but I also believe, given the context of Titus, there are three primary areas in which the man must be most faithful. First of all, his work in the church. I believe that's Titus 1. His work in the family and his work in the workplace. Those are the three primary domains. I do in my book give one more domain, which is the domain of a man's flesh, meaning if a man doesn't care for his own flesh, then he's going to feel defeated and insecure in every other area. So we start with that. But then, you know, the whole context of Titus is that here's a church that's dysfunctional. And the reason is because of bad men. The solution then is good men. And it really is in the context of a local church where men find their understanding of how to lead. And anytime you see instruction in the Bible on how to be a good husband or how to be a good father, it's really that our relationship to Christ and the church teaches us those things. So I do make a case that one of a man's primary responsibilities is in the local church.
Interesting. Interesting. We're on with J. Josh Smith, and the book is called The Titus 10. And so it's rooted out of the book of Titus and how we have very manly qualities. I know this is going to sound like a trick question. It's not intended to sound tricky, but I think it's a very genuine question. What's the difference between a man of God and just a good guy?
Sure. You know, it's funny. I one of the things I talk about in the book is my dad, who I really respected. He never like skinned an animal. He never fixed a transmission. He never owned a gun. Like he just didn't have a lot of the things that you would think of when you think of a manly man. But to be honest with you, when I think about manhood, he was the greatest example to me of real manhood. And it's because my dad had character. Like my dad was courageous. He was hardworking. He was faithful. He loved Jesus. He sacrificed for the good of others. He was extremely giving. And so there's a lot of good guys out there. But what I say is the path to becoming a man is really the path to becoming like a man, Jesus Christ. So I'm in the South here. I'm in the deep South. I'm in Athens, Georgia, where University of Georgia is. So I am surrounded by good old boys is what we call them. So we've got lots of those. And there's a lot of good guys and they'll do anything for you. But I'm trying to build men like the Bible does, which is from the inside out. So not just this external picture of I'm a good guy. But there is in my heart a new heart, and there is character that I'm trying to cultivate. There is a deeply rooted sense of what I like to call settled identity. I know who I am. I'm not constantly bound up in comparison and competition and all of that like men do, because I'm settled and I know who I am. So the difference is it's a man from the inside out who has learned how to be like Christ and is on that pathway.
Got it. Well, let's get to know you for a minute. Let's find out more about you. Let's find out what makes you tick. So you wrote the book. It's called The Titus 10, which, by the way, I love it because it sounds like an NCAA bracket for March Madness. I love it. The Titus 10.
There you
it just
go.
Sounds cool.
That's right.
Yeah. How did you come up? So you're reading through the book of Bible and you're going through it. And all of a sudden you land on Titus. Now, what triggered? I need to understand more about Titus.
Sure.
I need to find out more about, you know, because we're not really taught much in the Bible about being a man of God. We kind of brush across it. Okay, man of God. And that's as far as we go. But we don't really get to understand it. What triggered you kind of, we need to learn more about what this means.
Sure. So, yeah, I had mentioned about how my story was as a local church pastor and really more of the context. I was in a church at that point. I really couldn't hire new staff. I desperately needed help. And I was looking around and I was thinking, where are the men? Like, where are the guys that can help me and help me grow the church and love the people and sacrificially serve the church? I just couldn't find these guys. And really that led me to just reading through the New Testament and saying, okay, I need some way to teach them. And I came to Titus because, first of all, it talks about the character of a godly man. Second of all, it is written from one really godly man to another really godly man. The whole context of the book is there's some bad guys really destroying the church. We got to get them out. Titus 2 is all about character qualities for older men and younger men in the church. It talks a lot about controlling the flesh and self-control. Chapter 3 is all about the workplace and how we function. And then there's a ton about just the gospel. So I thought this is a really good book. So really the phrase Titus 10 came from 15 years ago. I invited 10 men to meet with me for 10 weeks to go through the book of Titus. And after I left that church, I had taken 120 men, 10 at a time, through the book of Titus.
Interesting.
I started through just walking through, you know, verse by verse, just kind of verse by verse exposition. And then over the course of the years, I began to find these qualities, like 10 qualities emerging of godly manhood. And I just started finding them from the book of Titus. I see them in other places, but Titus has got a lot to say about manhood.
You know, the great thing I like about what, because when you present the book, I like how you speak, because even in the dating world, it's fun when you see people who meet someone new, for instance, and they're just like, I don't know, there's just something about them. What do I mean? There's just something. You really don't know? But the key word I keep getting off you is quality, 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 yeah, quality,
that's right.
Quality,
yeah.
Quality. What that is, it's the fiber of what makes them then. You know, it's what makes them them. It's the quality. Yeah. And I'm curious, yeah, because, you know, you were talking about the book of Titus. Wasn't that written towards the overall church? Men and women both?
Oh, absolutely. And so, you know, one thing I started to do a lot when I was writing is making all these disclaimers. Well, what about women? What? And then I just realized I'm writing a book to men. So I just need to write to men. There is some of the most important instruction for women is in Titus chapter 2. And there's a ton of stuff. So all of those gospel passages, Titus is not a book written for men. Mm-hmm. It's a book written for the church. But just because of the context of the need of godly men and the real emphasis of Paul writing is saying, Titus, the first thing you've got to do is you got to go find some good guys. And so because of that, I've just taken kind of a model for manhood from this book. But absolutely, I mean, this is not, you know, the book of Titus, particularly chapter 2, has some incredible instruction for women. And, you know, you were talking about the idea of quality. I end the book by talking about the difference between direction and distance. Men tend to think in distance. I want to be here. I want to be this kind of guy. I want to see this happen. Well, what I want to say to guys is stop thinking about distance and start thinking about direction. I use a phrase in the book, if you'll worry about direction, God will take care of distance. In other words, I want a guy to wake up every morning and say, I want to head in the right direction. Like if I want to be this kind of guy in 10 years, all that means is today I've got to head in the right direction.
Got it.
And so I try to come of a tone of just really encouragement. For so long, stuff written for men just made men feel terrible about themselves. You guys are losers. And, you know, it's like, I'm not coming with that tone. I'm coming with the tone of, hey, make good decisions today. Walk with the Lord today. Go in the right direction. And God will take care of the distance.
Got it. Well, you know what's cool? Because you as a pastor, you probably have insight that a lot of us don't have. Because as we're talking a second ago, I'm thinking, you know what? You're really onto something. Because usually as a guy, I'm a guy. All right. Some beg to differ.
Yeah,
I'm kidding. But what's cool about that, because you're viewing it from how many times guys would say, I want to be this in 5 years. And I think we do hear that on a regular basis all the time. Yeah. Well, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I don't think I've ever heard once where someone says, well, I want to be a volunteer at my church. You never really hear people say that. They say where they want to be on a professional level. Some say I want to be married. Others say maybe I want to live in the South. You know, maybe in Athens, Georgia, because it's cold in Ohio this time of year. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you never really hear anybody say, you know what? I want to join children's ministry, or I want to get plugged in with this or that. They never really say that, do they, come to think of it?
No, but if a guy comes to my church and says, I want to be a pastor someday, what I'm going to say is, okay, we'll serve. Like, start serving, join our apprenticeship program we have, and just work really hard for our other staff. So I think the thing is, what we tend to do is when we go way far out, here's the guy I want to be, we skip all the steps it takes to get there.
Yeah.
So instead of doing that, we just have to say, all right, I've got to be as faithful as I can today to what God's called me to do today. And if we don't function that way, we're going to skip the thousand little things God wants to do, because God builds men. Men are being built slowly over time. So my goal is to say to a guy, okay, I want to help you to be the man God wants you to be, but you just need to know in the beginning of this process, This is a lifelong pursuit. Mm. But what you do today really matters. And so, you know, I think guys, all of us, but guys are driven towards the areas in which they feel most secure. So if a guy goes to work and feels really confident and gets affirmation, he tends to spend his time there. And then he avoids home because he doesn't feel like he knows what he's doing and doesn't get a lot of affirmation there. And I think this is a common thing. So what I'm trying to say to guys is, guys, listen, I want you to thrive at home. And I want you to thrive at church. I want you to thrive in the workplace. I don't want you to avoid those areas where you feel insecure, because going home and feeling like you don't know what to do is a fine feeling. Let's just start making progress. Like, let's just make progress. Let's just be the better man today than we were yesterday.
That's really good insight. That is good insight. Do you think guys have gotten a little bit stagnant in getting, I guess, plugged in with leadership?
Yeah. No question. I mean, again, this is like, you said I have some insight as a pastor that maybe others don't have. And I think there's some truth to that in two ways. I'm talking to a lot of men and they're sharing with me what's going on. I'm leading a lot of men I take this book and I lead men through it still. And so I wrote this book for guys to go through together. So I'm doing that. But then I'm watching as we're like begging for volunteers. And I've got like 700 men in my church. And I'm like, guys, I shouldn't have to beg for people to do stuff. Like, I need you guys to serve and to step up. And so there is a challenge. I think everybody's busy. I get that. But this is why part of what I want to do in the book is get guys' priorities in line and try to help them to see what things matter most. Where should I be spending my time? Because those are complicated things.
Yeah, got it. Well, we're on with J. Josh Smith. The book is called The Titus 10. And so, where do we find the book? Where is it located?
Sure. Yeah. So you can get it anywhere. Amazon, ChristianBooks.com. All of those places have it. My church is Prince Avenue Baptist Church in Athens, Georgia. So if you look up that Prince Avenue, you'll find sermons and resources and all that. I did specifically write the book for guys to do together. I'm not a big fan of like, hey, let's have an accountability group. I think that kind of accountability comes over time. So let's get together. Let's open a book. So what, you know, I'm doing it right now with about 120 men around round tables, six at a table. Mm-hmm. And I teach it and then they do the discussion questions. A lot of guys in our church right now are they're reading a chapter at a time and getting together once a week and discussing. But men are built in the context of community. This is isolation kills manhood. Yeah. Like it kills manhood. So you have to connect. So part of my hope in this book was that guys would get it, take their son through it, gather three guys for the next 10, 11 weeks and say, hey, let's just walk through it together.
You know what? You said something that just, I need to ask this. A couple hours ago, we did an interview with someone else and they were talking about the difference between it's you versus your behavior. You can behave a certain way, but be someone else. You mentioned accountability groups. Are there moments when sometimes we get plugged in with accountability and we sometimes put that mask up where we look one way with the accountability partners, go home, and we became completely different?
Well, the word for that is hypocrisy. That's putting a mask on. Hypocrisy mm-hmm. is acting. So you put a mask on, you put a different face on. Everybody does it to some degree. The reason I just feel like for a long time, men's groups were let's get together and the first week, let's share all of our stuff. And what I've realized is that doesn't work because most guys don't want to do that. But what I have found is this, if you can get some guys in a study for 10 or 11, 12 weeks, week four, week five, week six, they'll start to open up a little bit more. And guys need a context. So the two greatest enemies of manhood are passivity and isolation. So those are the two greatest weapons of the enemy. When a guy stays isolated, he's going to get into worse sin and make a bigger mess of his life. So what I would say is don't force the like getting the mask off. I think that's what we tend to do, like get your mask off. No. Start talking, have conversations, take a book like this, do the discussion questions. And I'm pretty confident because I've seen this for 15 years. A few weeks in, one guy will open up. And when he does, another guy will open up. Yeah. And I can tell you story after story of how I've seen that happen.
Yeah, I can imagine. J. Josh Smith, the book is called The Titus 10. He's available for interviews. And so, for instance, The 10 Foundations for Being a Godly Man, Putting Effort into Your Manhood, and Not Passively Becoming a Godly Man. And you mentioned earlier that you don't just wake up like, hey, I'm a godly dude. it's a process. You go through the process. It's a lifelong thing.
It is. And it's effort. Like it's spirit fueled effort, but it's effort. Like you have to put some effort into this. So it's funny. I say there's no area of a man's life that he thinks he will just automatically become good at. Nobody thinks he's just going to wake up and be a good golfer. He goes to the driving range. Yeah. He practices, whatever. But somehow we think when it comes to like being a Christian or a man, we're just going to wake up and be great at it. And when I want to say no, you got to get on that pathway. And so I wrote the book to say, let me help you give some direction on the pathway towards manhood. And I hope it just really encourages people.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? If you think you're just naturally a good guy or naturally a manly man, the rest of us know better.
That's right. Ask your wife.
Not to call you out or nothing, but we know you.
So, that's right.
So, J. Josh, how do we, I keep wanting to call you J. Josh, because if you're an author, you got to go by J. You got to have the initials in there yet, too. J. Josh Smith. So, how do we get to know more about you? Can we follow you on social media?
Sure. Not much. I have five kids, so I don't go home and look at my phone. That's one of my things. If I'm writing a book on this stuff, I got to be careful not to go home and look at my phone. So I think I have an old Twitter account that's J. Josh Smith out there, and I've posted a little bit about the book. I have no other social media. To be honest with you, I focus on my family, some writing, my church, my community, those kind of things. So I try to keep my head pretty much here. I do like to do some men's retreats. I try to do about one a month, and I'm always available to come and do something like that. I have about two speaking engagements a month. That's about it. I try to be here most of the other time. But basically the church, Prince Avenue Baptist Church, is the best way to find out sermons and resources. My email address is on there. I've got a number of guys on a regular basis emailing saying, hey, how do I use this book? Can you help me? So I'm always good to have those conversations and just help guys know how to lead some other men.
Outstanding. And that's how we get a hold of you. So we want to set you up for a conference and invite you in. Go through the,
that's right.
Go through the church.
Contact the church, and you can get the information. My email address there is on the church at Prince Avenue, and I'd be happy to help in any way I can. But man, I'm just, you know, I'm excited. We're seeing some fruit already from the book, just guys that are meeting together, and I'm hearing a lot of churches that are doing it. And so I'm really thankful. I wrote this to serve the church and to help men. Just a real passion of mine to see guys make some progress.
Well, you know what? As a dude, we want to thank you too, because like you said earlier, it's not always easy being a godly man. And sometimes it's just, you know, you brush across it. Generations comes and goes, and that's you right. See different men and you see their behavior. And sometimes it makes sense, other times it doesn't. And so to see a common thread from one generation into another that shows consistency, it's good to see that. And I think it's highlighted in your book. So thank you for spending a minute and doing what you do. That's awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate the time. I'm excited about the opportunity. Thank you.